Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I am Kim. I am the daughter of Carol. I am the wife of Simon. And I am the mother of Harriet. I thought that was a good biblical way of introducing myself, given my lineage. But I am one of the children's leaders. And I have to say, I feel a lot more comfortable out in the barn rather than stood here. But thank you for giving me this opportunity today to speak. So on the service, today's reading is actually quite a short one. And when I read it, and I knew I was going to have to talk about it to you this morning, and then I thought about how long I was going to have to talk for, I was a little troubled. So I prayed about it, gave it to God, and I hope that over the next few minutes as we journey through the passage together, I can give it justice. And I just pray that I speak the word that God wants me to speak this morning. So, buckle up, guys. As John said, we'll be out by 2. Maybe it might be closer to 3. So before we start thinking of the passage as a whole, there was a couple of things that really bothered me when I first read it. And, well, firstly, 18 years is a very long time. I mean, that's as, well, it's longer than Harriet's been alive. So if I put that into context, if I imagine being bent double for 18 years as long as she's been alive, that's a very, very long time not to be able to stand up straight. And I'm sure anybody in the audience that's suffered with backache before would agree that just an ache and a pain for 18 years would be horrendous, never mind being so crippled by it you couldn't stand up. So I'm thinking about this poor lady who's been bent double for 18 years, and then I thought, well, practically, maybe it's because I'm a physio in my with my other hat on, I don't know. But I thought, practically, how does the poor woman have a drink? So, in true children's leader style, we're going to have a little practice. And Simon, who should be known as Simone, for the purpose of this morning, because she is a lady, is going to demonstrate. So children, you might want to keep your eyes on this, because I think it'd be really good if when you get home, you have a go too. So, who thinks it's going to be easy for Simon to be bent double and to have a drink? Who thinks it's going to be easy? Anybody? Yeah, do you think it's going to be easy? Now, it would be cheating if we did this with an empty cup, I think you'll find. So this has got water in it. So you can do this because he's my husband. So, so Simon, bent double, don't stand up. Could you please have a drink? Do you think it's going to be easy? Keep drinking. Is it easy, Simon? Okay, so having a drink is practically quite hard when you're bent double. Stay bent over. Okay. I think you're swallowing tricky as well. Okay, so not only can this lady struggle to drink, I don't think they had straws, be they plastic, paper, or metal back in the day. I think it's actually quite tricky to sit down as well. So, first of all... Simon, could you just shuffle over here in your incapacitated state? All right, can everybody see? All the young people especially, because you've got to practice this at home. All right, Simon, could you have a little sit down on the chair, please? All right, so that wasn't too bad, was it? But then I'm thinking, in a synagogue 2,000 years ago, probably didn't have chairs, so up you go. So we didn't practice this part at home. So Simon, bent double, because I don't think you are particularly. Could you please now sit on the floor? Oh, well done. Now can you get up? Okay, thank you, Simon, that's great. Okay, so you can see it actually really is quite tricky. And I'm not sure, thank you. I'm not sure how she managed like that for 18 years. So as I say, children, maybe you might like to try, and perhaps if you've got photographic evidence, we can share that next week and see how you all got on. Anyway, I digress, just on with the passage. So I think it's fair to say that Luke was not a great storyteller. He was concerned with documenting the facts, which in itself is quite interesting when you think what he did write about. But I think we can also, as I said in the earlier service, and it went down like a lead balloon, so I'm expecting a better response from you guys. We can assume that Luke is not one of my ancient ancestors, because my family generally don't know how to tell a short story. So you only have to have a chat with my mom to know that. Okay, so the passage starts with Jesus teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Because it was the Sabbath, it is likely that the synagogue would have been really busy, probably busier than we are today. And it would have been hot and it would have been dusty, with people packed in and everywhere, sitting on the floor, most likely. The synagogue wouldn't have been like churches now. There would have been the main area, but there'd have also been in the temple courts, there would have been areas where people could sit and do some more informal teaching. And it's perhaps there where Jesus would have been. At this time, it was not the practice for men and women to be segregated in synagogues, as is now. So it would be quite likely that that woman would have been there and she would have been sat amongst the crowd. We have to assume that this is the synagogue that is closest to her home, because that would be the practice of the day, that you wouldn't travel on the Sabbath. And we also have to assume that it's the closest to her home, because in her state of infirmity, she would not have been able to walk far. So I would suggest that this lady did not come to the synagogue on that day because she was seeking Jesus and seeking healing, but because she was going because it was a Sabbath. So can we just imagine the scene? Children, this often helps, doesn't it, to have a think about it. So imagine the scene. Jesus was sat in the synagogue and there was a crowd of people around him, and he was talking to them and he was teaching, and it would have been quiet other than for him. And he looks up and he sees the lady. I don't know, maybe she was shuffling in, maybe she was trying to sit down on the floor, but something caught Jesus' eye. And he breaks off from his teaching and he calls her forward. Could you imagine if we did that now in church, that actually we're just like, excuse me, would you like to come forward? And you had no clue that that was happening. But this lady came forward. I'm sure that it probably created quite a scene, because if she was sat down, she would have needed help to get up. And as she shuffled forward, people would have had to move out of her way. It would have been even worse than happy hour at Wetherspoons. But Jesus, without fuss or wordy prayer or seeking somebody to pray with him, he put his hands on her and set her free from her infirmity. And she immediately stood up straight and praised God. Now, I don't know about you, but I get the feeling that Luke might have missed a bit out here. Because if that happened here, you know, if Jeff from Champion House got up and started walking around the place because somebody had said, "Jeff, you are healed," I don't think we'd all be sat in stony silence. Some of us would be crying, some of us would be praising God, some of us would be laughing. Jeff certainly would be doing something different. And that's just not documented in this passage, so I can't imagine that that was like that. But what it does say is that the synagogue leader became indignant. It's like, how very dare you? Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those, not on the Sabbath." But I would just like to point out at this state of affairs that this woman had been crippled for 18 years. Now, she gave thanks to God for her healing. So again, we have to trust that they believe God could heal. So this lady had been coming to this synagogue for 18 years, bent double. So if you do the math, so we take 18 years, turn that into weeks, turn that into days, and subtract the number of Sabbath days, then that synagogue leader had missed 5,616 chances to heal this lady. Jesus didn't. Now, of course, Jesus was not happy with the response from the leader. And he said, he essentially replied that if you look after animals on the Sabbath and do not consider it work, then why not look after people? I'll just leave that one with you. It should also be noted that this incident was not in isolation. Jesus had actually healed on at least 6 of the Sabbath days, which is documented in the Bible. In fact, on one particular day, he started off in the synagogue by healing a man with an impure spirit. He then left the synagogue and went to his friend's house, Simon, where Simon's mother-in-law was ill in bed. Let's call her Carol, just for the sake of today. Anyway, they told him that Carol wasn't very well, and so he healed Carol. And what did she do? She jumped out of bed and she waited on them. So again, like I said in the earlier service, I'm not sure what the motivation for that healing was, but it did the trick. Clearly, news was getting around that Jesus was doing something special. And that same night, we don't know how many, because it doesn't say, but it says the whole town were at the door and he healed many. So we can only imagine the fury that his actions were causing in the religious upholders of the law, those that believed in the old covenant that we talk about in the Old Testament. If they were so cross on the one occasion in the church when he healed the woman, how much more cross must they have been when he was healing many, all on the Sabbath? Basically, Jesus was declaring the start of a new covenant. Jesus was God with us, God made man. He was about his work, whatever day of the week it was. I think sometimes we lose sight of his attitude. Ironically, in today's church, we are often guilty of confining the work of the church and of our Christian ministry to a Sunday, and also to the inside of the building. And I think Jesus is calling us to be out there 7 days a week, whatever we're doing. Of course, for us, we're actually the next step on from this passage. The reality for us is that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we've asked Jesus into our lives, then he lives in us. And our job is to let him work in us and through us, in our homes, our schools, our workplaces, and our communities. We are called to be light in the darkness. And as Christians, we should have the knowledge that God is with us in all things and have the courage to do his will. I would not be standing here this morning if I'd not listened to and heard the still small voice that told me, you can do that, when Sue was looking for somebody to preach today. I didn't listen to it at first, I ignored it. And then the next morning, the voice was still there, slightly louder, more insistent, you can do that. And then I thought about it and I prayed about it and I thought, do you know what? I can. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But if I don't do it, Sue's going to have to do write a sermon when she's away on holiday or looking after her mum. And I didn't think that was an option. So I thought, I can do that. My normal congregation are of young people who I have to tell to put the glue sticks down and not talk all at once. So really, I figured this wouldn't be too bad. And we're all friends anyway. So if we ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit, then we don't grow. He won't ask us to do anything that won't benefit us in some way. It's not always easy, but if you feel that you're called to do something and you're not sure that it's God doing the calling, I would say pray about it, talk to God, and talk to other Christians that you trust. And God will affirm it in some way. He will give you confirmation that that is part of his plan for you. So I just want to close by saying that we need to be more Jesus. And remember that he lives in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. There's two other things I want to do. The first one, well, it's actually the first I'll talk about. At the end of the service, put a song on. It's not a hymn, which is why I didn't ask for it to be part of the hymns, but it is a song, and it is about, you know, if we are the body, why are we not doing more? So if you've got time just to hang around with coffee and have a look at it, I would encourage you to. And then this final thing, this is for the young people, really. It always chokes me up every time I see it. It's a film clip. And I'm in no way suggesting that God is a lion. But even Disney gets sentiment right sometimes. Amen.